everyone. I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Kate.
I'm Jonalyn.
And I'm Matthew San Pedro, and we are Team Huskers 2.
Why do physicists think physics is the fundamental science?
Physics is a fundamental science because it's a study of the laws of nature and how these can affect the behavior of the universe.
You know, they say that the world's run by numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty much all physics is. It's just a bunch of different numbers, and that's how they make everything work, you know? Mm-hmm. Like we did earlier, it was one of the chapters in the book that we were going over, and it was like, okay, what could you do if there was no physics, like no friction and all that stuff? You know, you couldn't climb a ladder and do all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think physics probably is pretty important.
Not only that, but it ranges from the smallest subatomic particles to the largest celestial bodies in the universe, so it's pretty much relating to all the sciences.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of cases where physics had to collaborate with biologists, chemists, engineers, come up with new innovative ways to do things. So yeah, physics is truly the fundamental science.
Shall we move on?
Sure.
Okay, question two.
How will problem solving relate to my future profession? I want to do marine biology, so I think it'll be pretty important in that determining how fast, maybe a fish is like swimming or something, and then determining how fast it'll get there. I don't know. I'm not really sure what profession where I'm gonna go to exactly, but it'll help. I mean, physics. Very important.
It's like that for mine too, like physical therapy. So many different angles of the body moves and stuff. It's like in every aspect of it, not just helping them, but the body itself.
I don't know what to think for biology.
Come on, doctor.
Doctor.
For example, at some point, a physicist and a biomedical engineer had to put their minds together to build an artificial pacemaker to be implanted in people's hearts. In short, physics is actually helping us to extend our lives.
Yeah, true.
How does the Big Bang Theory relate to late 20th century existential postmodernist thought? Huh?
No kidding.
First of all, I think we should define what postmodernist thought is. Anybody have an idea what that is? Well, it's basically postmodern in nature. It assumes that there's no absolute truth. That's what it is. So, for example, let's say there was a shopper, right, shopping in a Walmart, grabbing things off the rack. When that shopper gets home, chances are those items that he or she picks up is going to be different than another shopper, right? Mm-hmm. What postmodernist thought is that when you put these ideas together, it doesn't make a whole. Therefore, there is no absolute truth, and we'll never find it. And now the question is asking is how this will relate to the Big Bang Theory. So does anyone have any?
Because you can't prove it.
Yeah.
You weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's like no eyewitness, you know, or first-person witness or whatever. No, and there's not enough scientific information, I don't think, either, to make sure that, that's good. That's why it's still a theory and always will be.
And there's also no way for us to recreate the Big Bang Theory because we'll never have that knowledge, technology. Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
I don't want to be here for that one,
dude.
Unless they do it on scale, I don't want to be here.
We won't be here.
Okay, so next question.
So, what are critical thinking skills? Well, it involves observations. If we have a problem, we're trying to figure something out, we have to look at the different things that are going on, and then basically, look at the facts and what we already know about those observations. Mm-hmm. And then we just have to test test the facts from our observations.
Yeah,
making your inferences, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can make assumptions from that, to go in different directions. And then you take different people's opinions and stuff, and then use logic to develop. Yeah.
Then once you have different opinions, people will start arguing, of course.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which leads to the last step of the critical analysis. Who is right?
Yeah.
Who is really basing their opinions on these facts and inferences.
Yeah, and all that goes back to Bloom's taxonomy, basically. His different, his six different levels.
Which leads us to our next
question. What is Bloom's taxonomy? How are these ideas important?
Well, Bloom's hierarchy has knowledge, understanding, application, analysis, synthesis, and evaluation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think knowledge would be the lowest level, right?
Yeah.
Knowledge is the lowest level of understanding. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can take any equation, say, the law of conservation of energy, which is kinetic energy final plus potential energy final equals kinetic energy initial plus potential energy initial, right? I mean, anyone could say that equation,
yeah,
right? Which leads us to the next step, understanding, which is a step up from knowledge, right?
Right.
We actually understand that this equation represents the law of the conservation of energy,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess now that we understand what the equation is, we can apply things to it, which leads to the application.
Right.
You could apply it to basically anything, like once you have the knowledge and then you can comprehend the situation, you can apply it to other things.
Such as when the anaphylactic collision of billiards occur, right? We have a conservation of kinetic energy, right?
Yeah. You can apply it to like anything similar to the work that's being done, mm-hmm, as well. After the application, you have your analysis where you can calculate, categorize, and compare, basically to distinguish an experiment.
Yeah, it's like a level up, you know, and be like, you have all your stuff together, and you just look at it and be like, okay, well, from what I just did, like my hypothesis test that I just did, this is what I came up with. Now I'm going to say, what's up with it? Like, I'm defining what it is.
Right. And you're basically just breaking up the information and then substituting the values into this conservation of, right, you know, kinetic energy and solve for your unknown variables, yeah, right? That's basically the analysis. Mm-hmm. And the synthesis, what is the synthesis?
Well, this is the part where you actually solve. Say you're doing the conservation of energy and you have a problem and you just need to solve the problem. It's very important because that's your answer, basically, which is next. And
after you do like the problem solving steps and stuff, then it's time to evaluate it.
Yeah.
And then that's when all the arguments and all that stuff comes into, and they're just like, oh, okay, well, that's wrong because of this.
Right.
You know, it's basically like giving your paper to a teacher and they give it back to you with all kinds of red pen on it.
Yeah.
Basically, your evaluation is the proof of the work that you've done to support your findings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, you know.
Yeah.
Not only that, but when evaluation comes on, you need to analyze your answer to see if it makes sense. I mean, if you find that the final velocity of the billiard is more than your initial velocity of the cue ball, it doesn't make any sense, since the conservation of kinetic energy should, you know, remain true. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I guess evaluation plays.
Yeah. But I totally agree with Bloom, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't evaluate something without having, like, some prior knowledge to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the first step. You can't do anything without knowledge.
Right, I mean, you can't just go in and guess. I mean, you can, but you're still like an idiot. So.
Your outcome won't match up, and you'll just be totally wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of this is important because, according to Bloom, students must master one level of thinking before they can move on to the next. We can't really expect our students to evaluate knowledge if we haven't required them to understand it, apply it, analyze it, and so on. Courses that employ critical thinking pedagogy take Bloom's theory into account, giving students practice in some of the lower critical thinking skills before moving them on to the more difficult tasks of the higher thinking processes.
Yeah. Let's see, definitely.
Our last question is,
so how is the problem-solving method used in science dependent upon the critical thinking skills?
In every way. Like, you can't do any of it without that stuff, you know? I mean, like, if you don't go through the basic list,
mm-hmm,
you're never going to get an answer, so
basically you'd just be jumping to conclusions,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then conclusions really get you nowhere,
mm-hmm,
at
right
all.
And going back to the critical thinking level, if a question gives you all these unknown variables and you don't have the right knowledge, which is the first step, mm-hmm, how could you expect to get to evaluation?
Exactly. I mean, it all goes back to Bloom's theory,
right?
It goes hand in hand, critical mm-hmm thinking and Bloom's.
You need to learn how to relate the equation to the to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Which goes back to Tony's method of diagram reasoning solution.
Yeah.